Let's pray and we'll jump into this message. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us today, Lord. And we are indeed grateful, Father God, that you are so, so, so good to us, Lord. Father, this morning we come to you, though, and we ask you, Father, for the power and strength of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to anoint this word, Father, to anoint us, Father God, that we might receive it, Lord. Father, we put it all in your hands today. And more than anything, Lord, we pray your will be done in each of our lives this morning, Father. We ask it and believe it, Father God, because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. While you're going to Genesis chapter 4, because that's where we're going to start, Genesis chapter 4, let me just say that the Lord has kind of got me on a theme these last few weeks. And last week we talked about the Apostle Peter and how he messed so many things up prior to him stepping out and ministering, you know, the first day of the church. That was an awesome opportunity that he preached the first sermon of the church. But we know that prior to that moment, he messed up a whole lot of times. Ultimately, he denied Jesus three times the night that he was betrayed and thrown into prison and just hours away from his execution. And Peter was saying, hey, I don't know this guy. But how many of you all last week got out of that message that God's grace is really, really big? Amen? And God sent a special message to Peter that he wasn't out of the ministry, that he wasn't through with him, that he still wanted him to complete the task that I believe had been assigned to Peter's life even before Peter was born. So this morning, you know, I want to talk a little bit about mistakes, but this isn't so much a message on mistakes as it is a message on heroes. Heroes. How many of you all know that I think all of us need heroes in our life? Amen? I really believe that. I can look back over my past and I can tell you that there have been men and women who have played the role of hero in my life many times. So this morning, so as to get started in this message, what I'd like for you to do is look to that person sitting next to you and just tell them this. Tell them, you can be a hero. Oh, that was really lame. That was just really lame. Come on. Now, I want you to say this with a little bit of enthusiasm instead of looking at them and saying, you know, where your eyes are filled with doubt. I mean, look at them and say, you can be a hero. Come on, let's do this. There you go. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, this morning we're starting a new series and we're going to be talking about some heroes. Some heroes, I guess, throughout the Bible, these are people who entered into a life of greatness. A life of greatness. And I believe that every life, not just these folks we're going to be looking at these next couple of weeks, but I believe every life is called to make a difference. Come on. I believe every life is called to make a difference. And that we can do something. And not only just do something, but do something significant for God. Are you following me? I mean, something significant for the kingdom. Something that's significant for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe everyone in the kingdom of God has this plan or this purpose, if you would, that God has attached to our life. And I believe whenever you step into that plan, whenever you step into that purpose that God has for you, I believe this. I believe God does great things with us. Amen? I just believe that. And so this morning, I kind of want to make sure that you know, because we're starting in this kind of weird place this morning, kind of a weird, if you would, hero of the Bible. But in the next few weeks, we're going to look at some heroes of the Bible. And some of you, I might preach about your favorite hero of the Bible. Some of you, I may preach something that you never even thought of these people being a hero in the Bible. Some of you folks may say, I don't believe that they are at all a hero, but this is kind of where I'm going to ask you to be. Is you got to stay at this sermon till the end, okay? Is that okay? Got to stay till the end so that you can kind of get the end of the story. Why is it that God put these individuals in the Word to begin with? And so this morning, we're going to be we're going to be talking about a mistake that was made, okay? And so I came across this story of these three guys that were sentenced to die by the firing squad. They were going to be executed. They were all standing in a line and, you know, they were going to one by one march in front of their executioners and be shot. And so they got the first guy and they took him out there and they, you know, they any last requests, any last words? No, none at all. And So anyway, they put the hood over his face, and so the general backs up to his execution squad, and he says, "Ready, aim!" And about that time, the guy who's got the mask over his head screams out, "Earthquake!" And everybody in the confusion looking around to see what happened. He makes his escape, goes over the wall, and he's gone. Well, the executioner looks at the next guy, brings him over there, puts him up against the wall. Any last requests? No, none. Puts the hood over his face, and he backs up, and he says, "Ready, aim!" And this guy screams out, "Tornado!" And everybody's looking up at the sky, and in that moment, man, he makes the wall, he's over the fence, he's gone. So this third guy, he's sitting back there, man. You know, it's nice to be the third brother in a family of three, because you see all the mistakes your brothers got beat for. And that was me. So here's this third guy. He's watching what's happening. He's got it all figured out. He goes up against the wall. They put the mask over his face. And he's just kind of giggling because he knows, man. He knows what's coming. So the general backs up and he says, "Ready, aim!" And the guy with the mask screams out, "Fire!" Oh, never mind. Some of you are never going to get that one. So, come on, think about it. Some of y'all going to get it here in just a minute. The purpose of that story is to tell you that sometimes we can really make bad mistakes. Amen? You know, we can think we got it all figured out. We know exactly what it's going to be like. And in the midst of it, we end up making really bad mistakes. And so, today's hero, today's heroine, that's a female hero. They're ones that you might not really consider to be overcomers, if you would. But whenever you stay, like I said, to the end of this story, you're going to see what God is doing in them. So we're going to ask God to show us how to be overcomers, how to win the battles that we have so that we can make a difference in this world, because this is the fact of the matter. As I said last week, Satan is an absolute master of trying to derail us. He's trying to get us off course. He's trying to keep us from overcoming those life problems that oftentimes we have that prevent us from being all that God wants us to be. Amen? And God, folks, understand this. A moment ago, you had somebody look at you and say, "You can be a hero," but understand this. You can be a hero in the sense of that you can make a difference in this world. Come on now. You can make a difference in this world on a grand scale, because that's the plan I believe God has for you. So this morning, what is a hero? What is a hero? I thought whenever we began putting this series of messages together that it would be kind of easy to define what a hero is, but I found out that there's a lot of confusion around what a hero is. One secular author writes this. He says that you can't define a hero because there aren't any heroes. See, he says what one generation defines as a hero, the next will call a criminal. And you know, he's got a little bit of truth to that. So if you follow his line of thinking, basically where that leads us is that there's no reason to do the right thing. I mean, there's no reason to do the right thing because the next generation that comes after me is probably going to call me a criminal. Are you with me? And so I just want to reject that completely. One Christian leader says this. He says, we don't need any heroes any longer. And I just basically say that just cannot be true. They are all through the Bible. They're here. There are men and women all through the Bible that I want to make sure we all understand this. They are individuals that followed the course of their life. Many times they overcame great difficulty. And they rose to the place where God could ultimately use their lives to change the course of history many times. Amen? I think everybody needs somebody to look up to. It's my opinion. I think everybody needs somebody to look up to. I think our kids need somebody to look up to. Because I want to tell you something. All the heroes that Hollywood's pumping out, shouldn't be what kids look up to. The music industry that's out there, the kids are looking up to. Come on now. Our kids need heroes. Even the sports figures that are all over the world today, and our kids look up to them because they can kick a football a long ways. They can throw a football a long ways. They can catch a pass. They can run fast. They can throw a ball. They can knock a ball over the fence. Are you with me? Many of those individuals should not be our kids' heroes. I think kids today need some genuine heroes in their lives. I think that the heroes that ought to be involved in our kids' lives, they ought to be godly heroes. Come on. Godly heroes. One online dictionary says someone with supernatural powers that becomes famous. That's what a hero is. I think they've been watching too much TV. Let me give you the basic definition as I see it. A hero is an ordinary person that decides to do the right thing. And you know I have to simplify it because I was a children's pastor for way too long to get real complicated. I'm talking about just an ordinary person that decides to do the right thing. And you have to understand this, that you can be old, you can be young, you can be a teenager, you can be somebody with gray hair, somebody that colors their gray hair, you can be somebody without any gray hair, you can be somebody carrying an ARP card, you can be somebody that's still eating in the cafeteria, the lunchroom, are you following me? Age does not matter at all with this. A hero is just somebody, regular person, that decides to do the right thing. And I've always had this motto, if you do the right thing, you cannot go wrong doing it. Come on. Somebody that gives themselves to help somebody else achieve something better in their life, that's a hero. Somebody that gives of themselves, a person that puts themselves at risk. A person that puts others into the equation of their decisions. You know, I have to just stop here and tell you, you know, I'm so excited about the Hispanic ministry that we're fixing to launch into space. Are y'all with me? We got the rockets lit on this thing, man. A few short weeks ago, I sent out a letter to our congregation. You know, many of you received it, and you know, we began to talk about on the 16th of August, we began to talk about what we were going to do as we launched into this ministry, and we decided we were going to need $25,000 as seed money to start this ministry off with. And I'll be honest with you, I went to the Lord, I said, man, that's a heap big bunch of money. And I said, Lord, you know, help us with that money. And we decided to receive an offering on the 30th of August, just a few short weeks after we started. And last week I came in here telling you we had $29,500 and something dollars, which we exceeded the amount we were trying to collect by almost, $4,500. But last week more money came in. You guys just said, I don't care if we overdid it or not. I'm giving more money. We've broke the $30,000 barrier. We're moving towards $31,000. And that is a praise the Lord. But you know what that is? That's just a whole bunch of people in this congregation. Ordinary people, come on, that just decided to do the right thing. They were young kids. They were prime timers and everybody in the middle. Everybody was given towards this goal. They were thinking about somebody else besides themselves. Come on. A person that puts others into their equation and their decisions. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the word champion. Because I don't want us to get misconstrued this morning and say, you know, this church is raising up a bunch of champions. Folks, I just want to be a hero. That's all I want to be. I want you to be a hero. You see, a champion and a hero, they're not the same thing. Champions achieve great things. And this is what I believe. I believe we need champions. Heroes give themselves to others for a truly great cause. In doing the right thing, they change the lives of other people. That's what heroes do. Champions are those who win. Heroes are those who win with character. You may never see a hero's name on a nameplate at the bottom of a trophy. Are you with me? But yet they win with their character because, you see, they're just ordinary people that just says, listen, I believe I can change the world by doing the right thing in other people's lives. You see, a hero, it extends beyond themselves. It extends beyond their own self-center. And, you know, we can say all we want to, but I'll be very honest with you. I like to do things for myself. I like to put myself in the center of the equation. And y'all are going, you're a pastor? Folks, I think all of us have a selfish tendency from now to then. Amen? Where we go, you know what? I would just rather sit here in my pajamas with my feet propped up and a glass of tea in my hands than to get out there and do something for somebody else. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you're not as bad as that. Because you wouldn't have tea, you'd have a Diet Coke. Whatever the case. I believe there's times where we look at our own self-center, but a hero is somebody who says, listen, I don't matter in this. I don't matter in this. I am going to give of myself so that I can become a hero to that individual's lives. Now, I talked a little bit about a champion, but now I want to talk about a servant for just a moment. Servants can serve, but it doesn't always mean that they risk or they have courage. Now remember, heroes risk. A hero has courage. Heroes go beyond serving. A hero is somebody who builds something into somebody else. And the best news of all is that God's looking for those who will do the right thing so that He can bless them. Because this is what I know. I have never met a hero in the kingdom of God that was not blessed. Never. You find somebody in the kingdom of God that's being a hero to other people's lives. Are you following me? I'm talking about looking past their self-center and they're doing something for somebody else so that they can be the hero in their lives. You know, for so long, and I, Pastor Rick and Joyce, you guys know I love them and I you know, they're the dearest friends in our lives. But you know, for so many years, they came just down the road from my house a little bit and picked up a girl, brought her to church. So many years from a hotel room, from a house that her parents were in. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, they were bringing this young lady to church. You know, they didn't have to. They did because they wanted to be a hero. That young lady moved away from town not very long ago. It just broke our hearts, man, because we had all invested a lot of our lives into her. But just a few weeks ago, she comes strolling back into town, her and her mom. And I just happened to come in the door in the middle of the embrace that happened between her and these two right here. You see, because they're heroes to her. Are you with me? She'll remember those rides back and forth in church for the rest of her life. Somebody unselfishly giving of themselves, picking her up in a car and bringing her to church every time the doors are open. And I'll tell you something else about these two heroes. Their lives are blessed. They are. They're blessed. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro across the earth looking for someone that He can show Himself strong. So whenever He finds that individual person, He will reward and He will bless them and He will use that person. And I'm convinced that every one of us, we're called to be just an ordinary hero. I mean, a while ago, whenever somebody looked at you and said, you can be a hero, folks, I really meant that. You see, in the midst of your ordinary life, God's going to call you to stand up and to stand out and to do something that impacts the lives of folks that are all around us. I mean, today we're going to have some healthy guys on those tent poles, picking them up and moving them over. Now, Pastor Rick and I used to do this by ourselves. We'd rip off our shirts and grab those poles. No, it wasn't. That was another life. Yeah. But I'll just be honest with you. If it was just up to me and Pastor Rick today, we wouldn't be able to do it. Not a chance. We'd have to call in Joyce, Renee, and a couple other ladies to help us. Because we just couldn't get it done. But today, we're looking for some heroes to set that tent up. I will call you a hero. Because that tent is not just setting up a tent. That tent is beckoning kids from all over this community to come in and to hear the love of God applies to their life, no matter what situation they're into. And they're looking just to be loved on them by people. Our seniors man the general store, and our seniors are so cool because they don't know how to count tickets. And if you've run the general store, you know what I'm talking about. These kids win these tickets and they're absolutely free. Everything's free. And they come up there and they want to redeem the ticket for a prize. And our seniors count through those tickets. And if the pile looks anywhere near like it's enough, they just go, here it is. They want to bless them. Those seniors are heroes in the lives of those kids. Come on. That's what it's all about, is being an ordinary person called to be an ordinary hero. In the midst of our ordinary lives, going to call us and we're going to stand up and we're going to make a difference. Heroes do not have to be a big fancy person. I read about a couple of heroes, just, you know, random heroes. This is a kid writing this. She says, Miss Sharon Keith is my hero. She's the crossing guard at the Fox Hollow Elementary School. She loves kids. She walks me to my bus and she keeps cars from running over me. I think that's a hero. Another little girl writes, my dad is my hero. He's nice to me. And I can't tell you how he's nice to me because he's nice to me on a daily basis. I think that's good. Just ordinary folks. No fanciness, just people who have decided, I'm going to make a difference today in this community that I live in this neighborhood that I live in. I'm going to look past my self-centeredness and I'm going to give to somebody. And so we're going to talk about a hero this morning. That was, by the way, just the introduction. So the rest of the sermon is going to take several hours. We're going to talk about a hero and a heroine that you may not normally think of as heroes. If you only know half the story, though, you might think that they're perhaps the greatest failures in the Bible. Maybe even the greatest failures in the world. Their names are Adam and Eve. And so if you're there at Genesis chapter 4, skip all the way forward to verse 25, and we're going to read a couple of verses here. So this is Adam and Eve. And we're going to kind of skip to the end of this story, but we're going to read this scripture first. It says in Genesis 4:25, it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son named Seth. For God had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, who Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So, even though many of you have probably heard the story of Adam and Eve, I want you to listen to it again, and I want to put all the pieces kind of together of this story. We need to see it that even though they did what they did, because man, they blew it. And I've said for a long time that Adam and Eve broke the universe. I mean, that's how serious it was what they did. They still had the courage to do the right thing, even though they had failed. Now, come on. Adam and Eve had blown it, and they had blown it big time, but yet they had the courage to do what was right, and ultimately, in them doing what was right, it changed the world. Woo! Okay, so the story of Adam and Eve, let me go through it real quickly. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. We know that Adam came first and that Eve was made out of a rib, so on and so forth. God breathed life into both of them and they became living souls. But God, in the course of creating all of creation, the one thing that he did in mankind that was different from any other of his creations was he gave mankind a free will. They could choose to do the right or the wrong thing. That's a free will. Can I ask you, parents, how many of you would like for your kids to have been born and not to have had a free will until they turned 18? Think about that. You just tell them to do something and they would, okay, never mind. It's not going to happen. Adam and Eve were given this free will. They could choose to do the right thing. They could choose to do the wrong thing. God placed them in the midst of the most perfect place on the planet, the Garden of Eden. Now, Satan, the deceiver, because he just can't leave anything alone. Anything that's perfect, he wants to touch it and mess it up. And he hated Adam and Eve. And make sure we all understand this, he still hates us. Amen? And he hated us because he hates God. And the reason that he hates us so much is because God loves us. So the serpent came to Eve. I mean, Satan came to Eve in the form of a serpent. And he began to talk to her. And he deceived her about the plan, if you would, or the purpose that God had for her life. Okay? That's what happened. He deceived her about the plan and the purpose that God had for her life. Can I just kind of stop and say this? Some things are better if we don't know them. Come on. I mean, because really what happened with Adam and Eve whenever they sinned is now their minds were full of, if you would, carnal knowledge. You know, parents, sometimes as parents we make stupid choices and we allow our kids to see and hear too much. Come on. We really do. We need to be better filters, if you would, for what goes in our child's minds, into our child's hearts. Because this is what I think. I think our kids today are losing their innocence way too early. Come on. In other words, they're learning things, they're knowing things that they should not yet know. Can I stop right there and just... Parents, we've got to do a better job. We got to better do a better job of what they watch on television, what kind of movies they put. We've got to make sure that if they're on the internet, we're making sure we know what they're on the internet. Are you with me? That was free, didn't cost anything, wasn't in my notes. Sometimes I think it's better if we don't know some things, because I really believe this. What we know can hurt us sometimes. And so this is what happened to Adam and Eve. The moment that they sinned, something began to die on the inside of them. And in the midst of that sin that they had committed, they went out, they hid themselves from God. They created these, you know, fig leaf clothing to cover up their nakedness. And for the first time, they became afraid of God. Now think about this for a moment. Their lives up until this time, they had walked and talked with God in the coolness of the evening as God would come down in the garden and walk. But now they find themselves afraid to meet with God. God says, "What have you done? Have you eaten from the tree?" And they began to point fingers at each other. "No, she did it. She did it. She told me how to do it." And so they've blown it. And God has to mete out, if you would, a very great punishment on humanity because of Adam and Eve. He said, "Woman, your sorrows are going to be multiplied." And he said, Adam, now you're going to have, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to earn a living. But now, even that punishment is superseded by the next punishment, because you think about this. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden. They were forced out of this paradise that God had made for them. And if you think about this, you kind of see the picture. They could see the garden, but they couldn't go back into it. They could see the garden, but they couldn't go back into it. So it's kind of like all they could do is remember what they had lost. So now I'm going to ask a question that probably doesn't even apply in this group, but maybe somebody that gets the CD or listens to it on the internet will. No, I'm kidding. I think it applies to all of us. How many of us have ever let somebody down? Yeah, that's me. And I mean, if you're a caring individual that has any kind of a tenderness in your heart, one of the things that happens whenever you let somebody down is it hurts. It hurts. It not only hurts to get let down, but it hurts to let somebody down if you're a thinking, caring individual. But I mean, If you put yourself in Adam and Eve's shoes for just a minute, how do you think they felt having the knowledge that they failed the entire human race? Come on, let that soak in for just a moment. How do you think they felt knowing that they failed, that they let down the entire human race? Life was perfect. Life was wonderful. There was no sin. There was no sorrow. And you messed it up. Come on. They're on the outside of the Garden of Eden looking in, and they go, man, all we have is memories of that wonderful place. God didn't come down and walk with them anymore in the cool of the day. Are you with me? And now get this. All of that because they couldn't obey just one simple commandment. Come on, he said, don't eat from that one tree. Goodness. So sin entered the world because of Adam. Death entered into the world because of Adam. And this is it. They failed us. And so you got to begin to wonder in your heart how it was that they felt. But we know the very first reference to Jesus Christ in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. And in that prophetic word, the Bible tells us that there's going to be enmity in between the seed of the woman and Satan himself, and that literally the seed of the woman is going to rise up, and that seed, Satan, is going to touch his heel, but the Bible says that heel is going to crush his head. So here you got this promise that's coming from the sin that Adam and Eve had got themselves into. Jesus' heel is going to bruise, but he's ultimately going to crush Satan's head. I love that prophetic word. They had failed God, they had failed us, but they had this promise. One of their kids would ultimately end up being the grandfather, father, so on and so forth of the Messiah himself, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And so in the course of time, Adam and Eve had two kids. And we know this story. We know that they had these two brothers, Cain and Abel. And the story of Cain and Abel is pretty short. They had to go out and get some sacrifices. And whenever they came back, we know that one of the brothers didn't have the right sacrifice. He got jealous of his other brother that had the right sacrifice. And he rose up, and the Bible says he smote him. I just wanted to use that word. It sounds so cool. He smote him. He killed him. He killed his own brother. Cain killed his brother Abel. And so we know that the promise could not come through Cain, because Cain was marked and he was driven out of the presence of the fellowship of God. We know that the promise couldn't come through his brother Abel, because now Abel's dead. But God had a plan for Cain's life, but the Messiah could not come from him. So how do you think Adam and Eve must have felt now? They've messed up the world. They've failed humanity. Sin came through them. Death came through them. They got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The only thing they could do is remember the paradise that they got moved out of. And now they've got these two boys, and they realize that there is a promise that has come from one, that God on one of these boys' lives, that they feel like one of them is destined for the Messiah to be born from his lineage. Are you there? And now all of a sudden Cain's kicked out and Abel is dead. How do you think they felt? One mistake, two mistakes. And you say, well, Adam and Eve didn't make a mistake with their sons. Adam and Eve should have been paying better attention to their kids. I seen an America's Funniest Home Video the other day where this kid got into a jar of peanut butter and painted her little brother on the kitchen table. And the mom's filming this kid. They're just covered in peanut butter, head to toe. And the little girl just painting her brother up with it. And I thought, Mom, where were you? Because the way I'm looking at it, it probably takes more than a couple of minutes to paint your little brother. We're actually going to try it with one of the nursery kids this afternoon just to see the time that's elapsed. I'm just kidding. We're really not going to do that. But what I'm saying is, Cain and Abel should have been doing a little bit better job of parenting, perhaps. And so they probably took it on themselves that, man, now we failed. We failed once, we failed twice, and then they probably began to feel this way inside of them, that we just can't do anything right. You know what happens whenever you begin to think you can't do anything right? You all of a sudden get this spirit to quit. I'm just gonna quit. Can't do anything right anyway, so I'm just gonna quit. I'm just gonna give up. Adam and Eve had two opportunities to change the world, and they blew both of them. But the neat thing about this whole story is, and some of y'all already know where I'm going with this, after this double failure, not only have we ruined the garden, but now we've ruined this promise. And all they heard from with God was silence. The word does not teach anything about God speaking to them during this time. God was silent. And you go, man, that's terrible. God wasn't talking. But you know, I prefaced what I read there is, it was a neat thing. How could God being silent be a neat thing? See, sometimes I believe in the silence, that's where the greatest moment of decision comes from that you'll ever have. You know, sometimes I've been praying and I've been going, oh God, oh God, oh God, what do I do? What do I do? God, you got to speak to me. I need to hear you. I got to have what you got to tell. You got to tell me what to do. And you know what? The Lord has interrupted me a few times and He said, I've already told you what to do. And I go, no, you haven't. I haven't heard one word from you. I've been in here for 7 minutes praying. Come on. And somehow or another, the Holy Spirit just begins to minister into my life. And all of a sudden, something that I read in this book comes to mind. And I go, oh, He already told me. In the midst of silence, what will you do in the midst of silence? In those moments, often we make the deepest decisions of our lives. Silence can be this place of deep commitment, can be this place of great deliverance. I mean, Jesus, He liked silence. Whenever He faced the demonic spirits that were in the ones that He ministered to, He said, silent, come out of him. Whenever He was out there on the Sea of Gennesaret, He spoke to the winds and the waves and He said, be still, be quiet. Come on. Sometimes in the silent, that's whenever God does something so awesome and so eternal in our lives. Like in Revelation, there's going to be a moment in the days to come. It says, and the Lamb broke the seal and there was a silence in heaven for about a half hour. You see, silence can be whenever God really is in the place and we don't realize it. You know, we're not hearing from God and we think, oh, God's a million miles away. He's off doing something else. But what we have to understand is in the silence, He's still there. And so Adam and Eve had blown it two different times. And it was all silence. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. In that silent moment, with all the failure, with all the hurt, Adam and Eve made a decision. Now come on, God's not speaking to them. But Adam and Eve made this decision. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son named Seth. For God had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. I love that scripture. See, in that silence, that's where that Genesis chapter 4 fits. In the middle of that silence, God's not speaking, but these people, in the midst of their failure, in the midst of their hurt, they stepped up. And they said, we're going to do the right thing. But in the midst of failure, sometimes it's so difficult to get up and try again. Has anybody experienced that besides myself? In the midst of failure, it's so hard to get up and dust yourself off and said, I'm going to do this in Jesus' name. You see, but the idea that heroes never fail or heroes never make mistakes, folks, it's just plain wrong. Today we're talking about you being a hero. And I got to be honest with you, whenever you read the Bible and you look at all of the heroes that God gave us as examples that have come before us, none of them were exempt from mistakes. Come on, they all made mistakes. You know King David? King David, the greatest king that has ever walked the face of this earth outside of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? In fact, the Bible says whenever Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to establish his throne on the throne of King David. A man after the heart of God. Woo! Chosen. Powerful, mighty king. But how many of y'all know that King David was kind of messed up sometimes? Man, King David abused his power. Committed adultery. Committed murder. That was King David. You know, those are two things that would actually disqualify you in the assemblies of God, being a pastor. Murder, right off the bat, they're going to take your papers, I'm going to tell you. Adultery, that's another one. But King David, he overcame those mistakes. Are you with me? He overcame those mistakes. Adam and Eve overcame their mistakes. You see, the key to God's plan being fulfilled in your life is to get up whenever you feel like staying down. That's what heroes do. How hard is it to trust whenever someone has violated your trust? How hard is it to live in a marriage whenever you've had all kinds of brokenness in it? How hard is it whenever you see your past failures right in front of you? How hard is it for you to go after real Christianity whenever you failed so many times? You see, one night Adam and Eve made a decision. We're not going to let our failures be our testimony. Come on. I'm not going to let my failures be my testimony. I'm going to get up. I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm going to go on with the plan of God. Adam and Eve made a decision that this could not be the last chapter in their life. They couldn't let fear of failure determine what was going to ultimately be the outcome. And so they have this boy named Seth. Seth absolutely means a milepost. A milepost. So this is my testimony. And we didn't quit, even though we failed so many times before. I love that. Seth is my testimony. We didn't lay down. We didn't give up. We got up and we trusted God, and now we're moving forward in the plan of God. You see, this guy Seth, he became, and I don't know exactly how many great greats there is in between him and this guy named Abraham. But y'all, if you went on ancestry.com, you could track Seth right on down to Father Abraham. Father Abraham, where we look at him and we go, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you have to understand, it started with Seth. Woo! Come on. Let me tell you some stories about my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, Seth. Abraham said that. Come on. How many of y'all know that, though? Abraham, he did what he needed to do for God, and several generations down, I just talked about him a minute ago, man, King David. From my father's throne will I rule. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. He's going to sit on his father David's throne, man. That is awesome beyond awesome. But how many of y'all know that it's David, it's Abraham, and it goes back to Seth, because Seth's mom and dad said, listen, man, we've blown it, and we've blown it pretty big time. Come on. But we're not going to lay down. Even in the silence from God, God wasn't there saying, hey man, try again, try again, try again. In the silence, they said, listen, somebody needs a hero and we're going to step up and be that. Folks, you know, we look at Jesus and we say, oh, thank you, Jesus. We look at David and we say, thank you, David. We look at all of these individuals, but very seldom do we get all the way back to Adam and Eve and say, thank you, Adam and Eve. Because I've said this before and I take it back now. I've said I wanted to get to heaven and just smack Adam and Eve. But see, if it hadn't have been for their resilience, if it hadn't have been for them being heroes, come on, man. If it hadn't have been for them, are you with me? And then, you know, there was King David, there was Abraham, Seth, but after King David, there came this guy that literally, there was this man that was a religious leader in his time. He was out in the Jordan River and he was baptizing people and he began to tell him, he said, hey, there's one coming after me that I'm not even worthy to reach down and tie his sandals. I baptize with water, but this guy is going to baptize with fire. And pretty soon, as he was baptized, and he looks up, and he sees this guy coming out of the wilderness, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you get all hung up whenever you're reading the New Testament, and there's these, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, until finally they get to Mary, and finally they get to Joseph. Are you with me? But you have to understand, there was Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And then there was David, and then there was Abraham, and then there was Seth. And Seth was there because his mom and dad said, I'm not going to allow failure to be the testimony of my life. I really believe that the action word for faith, you know, because we're supposed to be people of faith. The action word for faith is courage. Courage is the one thing required to be successful. Doing the right thing whenever you're afraid. Daring to get up and live and not coast through life. Willing to be known and not stand in the shadows. Wow. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's not the absence of fear, love, of risk. Courage is trying again whenever you've experienced the failures of life. That's courage. It's just saying, Lord, help me do the right thing today. And you go, that can't get you to be a hero. Folks, I want to tell you something. Just doing the right thing today, that's what heroism is all about. It's just doing the right thing. It's standing there whenever those kids are coming off the bus and say, hey man, we've got an event here at the fair we want you to come to. We just want you to come and have fun. Ride the bungee bull. We'll buck you off on your head. Well, that's a challenge for a kid. No, you won't. Yes, we will if we want to. That bull's hard to ride. I've never ridden him because my bones are brittle. And I fear that if those people at the end of those ropes knew I was the one being bucked, they would show me no mercy. Just doing the right thing in that child's life. Just doing the right thing. As Pastor Wilfredo's got all these tracks going out into our community, just handing them to them and saying, man, we're starting this a new church. We want you to be part of it. See, so many folks are looking for a hero. Kids are looking for heroes out there. And I'm just going to just take a gamble here, and I'm going to just tell you that I don't think there's nearly enough heroes in our world. I just really, really emphatically believe that. To be an everyday, ordinary hero, I believe there's a couple of things we got to understand. I'm going to go through these quickly. Number one, most of the time, the right decision is the hardest decision. Come on. If you're going to be one of those everyday, just ordinary heroes, you got to understand that most of the time, the right decision's the hardest decision. A hero's decision is going to probably be a tough decision. Godly choices are usually hard choices. I mean, you look at the Bible and you get these three kids that called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they had to make a decision, man. And I want to tell you something. Their decision was a tough one. They heated up that furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been. And they said, you either do what we tell you to do or we're throwing you in that furnace. I mean, how many of you, just being truthful, might you have wanted to fudge just at that moment and said, listen, I don't like fire that much. I got a tan the other day at the beach in Florida. I don't want any more tan. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember this. A hero's choice is a hard choice. And so Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego said, man, we are not bowing, man. Throw us in there. And man, they came out not smelling like fire. Are you with me? There was a fourth man in the furnace there with them. They made their decisions. Can I just tell you something? I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't make their decision while they were standing there in front of the furnace. I think they made their decision a few Sundays back. Are y'all with me? Maybe in the middle of Sunday school one Sunday morning, man, that Sunday school teacher was just teaching an amazing message, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at each other and said, man, I want to say something. We're serving one God and one God only. That's it. Our loyalty is His and His alone. We're not going into these unknown places. I think they made their decision a long time ago. And you and I, as individuals, we got to understand making that right decision is a hard decision many times. And we got to make up our minds today. Folks, if we're called on to be a hero, we're going to be a hero. Yesterday I was on my way home, and I'm not telling you this is any kind of heroic action, but I believe in encounters that God gives us to make a difference in people's lives. And I'm driving down my road going home, and here's this guy broke down in the middle of the road. It's a young man, and his tire had come off of his truck because all his lug nuts had come off. And I stopped and I backed up and I rolled my window down and I said, man, do you need any help? Now let me just tell you something. Please don't misunderstand this in any way. It was Saturday, and I will just make this statement to you so you will already know. I had plenty to do that day. I wasn't like driving down the road saying, man, I wish I had something to do this afternoon to occupy my time. Are y'all with me? I wasn't doing that. But sometimes the right decision is a hard decision. And he says, yeah, I could use some help. Do you have a jack? Could you take me to the parts house to get some new lug nuts? And I go, I said, yeah. So I ran to the house. Well, I didn't run. I drove. Because if I had run to the house, I would have never made it back. Okay, I would have never made it there. So anyway, we went back. We got his truck up and running. And you know, he made the statement to me. He said, I can't believe you stopped and helped me. He said, most people won't stop and help me. They won't stop and help people. Now, you have to understand, I was on South Skeena. And he's making that statement. Because I figured folks on South Skeena would stop and help you. They might take something from you while they're helping you, but they'd stop. Come on. I introduced myself to him. We talked for a little while. And I believe that out of that meeting, God's going to do something. Come on. And what we've got to do is we've just got to decide. We've got to make a decision that we're going to do the right thing. We're going to choose to do the right thing. You see, to be an ordinary, everyday hero, we've got to understand that most decisions that are going to be right, they're the ones going to be the hardest. But the second thing we've got to understand is this. Some heroes are born after failures. Come on. Adam and Eve, they fell on their face. In fact, they fell on their face a couple of times, but they had the courage to get back up. You see, your past failures don't have to determine the legacy that you're going to leave behind. You've got to decide to write a new chapter. A few weeks ago, I talked about my family, and I talked about one of my uncles that was just a horrible alcoholic. Just liquor had just ruled his life for so many years. And at the time I spoke about him, I didn't know that his life was failing him. And he was actually hospitalized at the time. And After I'd talked to my mom the next week, I found out that he was hospitalized, and just a few days ago, I found out that he had passed away. And you know, I thought a lot about him, and you don't have to understand, I wasn't really, really close to him at all, but I had a lot of memories in, you know, of times whenever my life encountered his. He was a Marine for 8 years, fought in the Korean War, and he was a New Mexico State police officer for many years, and I worked with him whenever I was in high school. He was a construction guy, and I have to tell you this, though. I had no memories at all about ever being around him but what I smelled alcohol on his breath. None. Zero. I don't know where my uncle is today as far as eternity is concerned, but this is what I do know. There were times in his life where I believe he could have gotten up and written a new chapter in his life. And he could have been somebody different than he chose to be. Sometimes we just have to determine we're going to get up after we fail. And we're going to make some right decisions. Amen. Third thing about this is not only do we have to understand that some decisions, the right decisions are going to be hard decisions, and heroes are born many times after failures, but the third thing is heroes live for other people. Heroes live for other people. Let me just illustrate this quickly. Whenever Jesus was here on this planet, this was his life. He would say, I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about you. Y'all with me? I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about you. Heroes live for other people. Let me just read this one last scripture and then I'm going to close. Jared, if you'll come and help me, that'd be wonderful. In Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, this is what it says. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Do you know who they're speaking of there? That's a guy named Adam. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And so here's Adam, that sin came into the world through him. But the amazing thing about it is, if you consider Jesus the antidote to sin, then you got to understand that's what happened. Through one man, sin entered the world. But through one man, Jesus Christ, we now have the victory over sin. Sin does not have to lead to death. Are you with me? Because see, Adam sinned and sin led to death. But Jesus came, and I have to remind you of this, and I know it's probably redundant, and I know you probably don't want me to remind you of this, but you know, there was Jesus. And before Jesus, there was David. And before David, there was Abraham. And before Abraham, there was this guy named Seth. But before Seth, there were these two people who had failed so bitterly, but yet they said, I believe somebody needs us to stand up and be a hero. And so in these next few weeks, we're going to talk about some characters in the Bible that indeed I believe God sends to be heroes in our lives. And we're going to learn more about being a hero. But this morning, we know that most of the time, the decisions we make that's going to bring us to be a hero in somebody else's life, they're going to be hard decisions. And we also know that even after great failures, God can raise us up and another hero is born. And we also know that heroes live for other people.